just sounds like a thumbnail sketch of maybe of what our dear brother's going to tell us tonight. So we'll ask, Brother, your heart. Brother John, we've appreciated his services here year after year, and he's been a blessing. We've asked him to put in a little spot of once in a while in Polish for our dear sister Ruth in the front here, who delights to listen to Polish talks and, of course, doesn't get those over there in Victoria. And so a little spot now and then will be like a little spice, and I know she'll enjoy it. Thanks, Brother John.
Thank you, Brother John. Dear brethren, we believe we had very nice convention. Every talk I appreciated, I believe everyone did. We will have very short resume about the talks. Very short. First, I go a fishing. Then on the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side. It is a lesson for us. Very important that we should be on the right. We should do what is right. We should watch our step. Next was this course. Keep yourself from idols. Our God is invisible. He commanded not to make any images, no idols from silver, gold, etc. But nation of Israel quite often fell into idolatry. That's why God punished them. We have one God, and we have to serve Him and love Him with all our heart. Whatever is deviating, it might be idol. We had talk about Paul, early ministry, how he was converted, his great devotion, zeal, and care for brethren, for churches. And that's why he said, be my followers as I am follower of Christ. We know that Apostle Paul is the after Christ, the greatest example. And I like to say, maybe the greatest man on the earth, Apostle Paul, what he did. Then we had talk about the marriage. Quite nice, beautiful picture in Isaac and Rebecca and Eleazar, who went to look for his wife. In our time, marriage is really degenerated. We know in some places, in Hollywood and so, they said even, if you not divorce few times, it's not popular. How far it went. But in Bible tell us that is God is head. Christ is head. God is head of Christ. Christ is head of man, and man is a head of woman. And Christ is a head of a church. As brother very nicely talk about that it applies even to ecclesia. We know that our head is Christ. And if ecclesia is directing itself, especially elders, by Spirit of Christ, that ecclesia is healthy. Otherwise, we see different. Next day, we had discourse about trusting in a living God. Trust or refuge in some translation. David was trusting God. He killed Goliath because he trust God. He killed giant. By the trust, he had patience. And a brother mentioned properly, he could kill Saul. But he was anointed. Being anointed, he believed that in time he will have a kingdom. So he didn't want to kill. He said, I will not put the hand on anointed. We see great example in patience and endurance. Trusting in God. That was a great lesson for us. Brother Sharkovich had, he said, continuation. It was in some respect, but not every respect. My beloved, David was beloved. He had a fight Philistine, and especially twice. And as he mentioned, second time, God said, I'll give you sign. And when he gave him sign, then he went and destroyed them. Brother alluded this to the sign of our sign in our time, sign which been asked by apostle. They asked Christ, what sign will be? And he told them, what sign? And as brother mentioned, we have a sign, especially Palestine, returning of Jew. It is very important. And the other, we have many other, but this is quite great, I would say, sign. Because not only Christ said about olive tree, but we see how many prophets he said that God will eventually return them to the land. And he said even under the rod, what they represent, trial and so on. And you had trial and they still have. And they will have, we believe, till they will recognize Christ. Because that's the point that they are gathering there, to recognize Christ. And then God will use them in a blessing too. Next was, another talk was Brother King about his experience in Japan. It was very interesting. As he said, modesty and humility in Eastern countries much more visible than now and here, and it's true. And it's very true. We noticed that when we had some opportunity. Even in those humble people, like in Europe and in some, when they suffer, when they poor, they're more humble. But those people who rich, they think too much about themselves. And we see in history it was like that. Rome, why Roman fall and the other. And English, they've been very, in time, very proud people. What happened? As Bible tells clearly that he can put everyone down to his place. And we're glad that truth is coming, as brother said, to Japan, to Asia, we now see to Ukraine. And another talk was, we have Messiah, we have found Messiah. We have two found Messiah. John the Baptist, the last of ancient worthy, very, as Christ said about him, the greatest man from prophet. And he proclaimed about Messiah, about the Lamb who is taking the sin of the world. And he suffered, he died, he was murdered. Those who found Messiah, apostle, they proclaim him at first in Judea and after as the Lord told them to go all over the earth when time came, when special favor for Jewish nation ended, then they went all over. And it is our responsibility to proclaim about Messiah, about kingdom. Because this proclamation, as we know, it gives hope to people. In Winnipeg, we've been proclaiming in Polish and Ukrainian language. We had many letters. Of course, few came to the truth, not many. But one man, when we had convention, he came a few times and he said, your program giving us hope. I heard to many other. They don't see much hope. But in your program, it is hope. Because we proclaim that everyone will have an opportunity in due time because Christ died for everyone. So logically, Apostle Paul was a very logical man. What he said, he had support. So we see that. So all those, I believe, the brethren, I did profit greatly. And now at the end, there will be my discourse on 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, 13. To establish your heart. Apostle Paul said like that. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all men as we do to you, so that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Tutaj ja dałem krótkie streszczenie odnośnie wykładu, że wykłady były piękne, każdy miał, siostra uczęszczała. Teraz nasz temat będzie odnośnie serca. Establish to znaczy, aby okrzepić serca nasze w miłości. Na ten temat my będziemy mówić. These words are addressed to Lord people who are already begotten of Holy Spirit of love. It shows that love already attained some development in the heart and mind and is progressing and bringing into subjection all thought and conduct of light. The thought that love is to increase in the heart of God's people is in full harmony with the general testimony of the Scripture that we have to grow in grace and in knowledge and in love and in this way to come closer to the mark, to attain it and to maintain it, because it is set before us as a standard of character. It is similar to the cistern being filled more and more with the water until it is filled and then overflow with its abundance. So the Lord people are to increase in love continually until love abounds in all thoughts, words, and conduct of life, and will benefit not only us, but will bring blessing to all with whom we are in contact, especially brethren. We know that first of all, our love has to be the greatest to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, and then to the brethren. But we know what Apostle John said, that if we don't love brethren who we see, how can we love God who we don't see? Those who don't know true character of God, we believe for them is much harder to develop great love to God. But those who know the present truth, who know great plan of salvation, know how great and glorious is character of God, they have great responsibility. How important it is, brethren, to know the true God. That's why Jesus said, and this is the life eternal, that they might know thee and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is life, if they know thee and they know me, Christ said. In our topical text, Apostle said, even as toward you, and it shows that Paul and other apostles greatly appreciated and practiced that what they teach. They were laying down their life for the brethren. They sacrificed their earthly pleasure in serving the truth, and because of that, they could say to be their followers. Apostle Paul said, be my followers as I am Christ's follower, because their life was very close to the Christ life. And so it should be with all who exhort others to walk in the way of righteousness and love, in order that our words may have a force. We must exemplify them in our own life. In the other place, the same apostle said that we are the living epistle whom the people read. How to increase and abound in love? One may ask, what should I do to increase and to overflow in love? As the pastor said in the reprint, 46:42. This discourse is mostly based on that. Pastor said, apostle impliedly answered this question, that it is not what we can do in us or for us, but what the Lord can do for us and in us. We remember what apostle said, that God is doing that job in you. This is why apostle said, He make you increase and abound in love. So it is the Lord doing. We can accomplish very little for ourselves, and the sooner we learn this, will be better. The spring of our love must come from fountain of love and grace and truth from God. For God is love. When we consecrated, we began to receive of His Spirit of love. From that time on, we are to endeavor to receive more and more Lord's Spirit, remembering the warning from the Lord that if someone has not Lord's Spirit, he is not His. God has various agency and channel through which He will increase our love, and that is His pastor words, and to cleanse away the natural selfishness against which we have to contend. So He said, one channel or agency is the Word of God. The other channel is God's providence. And the third is the fellowship of the saints. All of them are important, all those channels. Now we will deliberate on these three points partly. The Word of God is the basic of our faith and hope. It is also the basic of our love. We all remember what Apostle said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:17. The Word is the means of communication, the source of all knowledge. Christ said, sanctify them by truth. Thy Word is truth. Apostle said, how can they believe if they did not hear? How they can hear if nobody preached the Word of God? So He said, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We can have a faith to some extent, as Pastor said, in God, looking around us, heaven, and so on and so on. But actually, basically, our faith is grounded on the Word of God. The Word of God is represented in the letter with the water in tabernacle. An apostle in Ephesians 5:25-27 said that the church is being washed by the Word, that she might be presented before the Lord a glorious church without any spot or a wrinkle, but to be holy and without any blemish. Only through the Word of God can we receive the knowledge of God's plan and why God permitted evil. God is selecting in this age special class, and that's why He gave them such great and precious promises. Apostle Peter tells us, whereby were given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature. Apostle Paul clearly said that having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Believing in these promises, we have hope, which is, as Apostle said, as an anchor for us. And we will remember the beautiful word of Apostle John, who tell us that we are called the Son of God. And when Christ, He said, appear, we shall be like Him. And then He said that every man who properly thinking, logically thinking, He said every man who has that hope in Him purifies himself as He is pure. But we should always remember what Jesus said too. if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. If you continue, if you do. He said, if you listen, not only listen in the sense that you obey. Obeying is the key, we said. We could say, I always have in mind those words what Apostle Paul said, that Christ suffered, and because of suffering, he learned obedience. And he was obedient all the time. But to know and to be obedient under great stress and trial, as brethren said, even sometimes we wonder why such trial been permitted, to be obedient completely. So it show that God permitted for very wise purpose to give a divine nature, to give immortality, and the same thing we know it is required from us. Second, as we mentioned, is God's providence. The condemned world of mankind is left to its fate, and men are permitted largely to pursue their own course, try to help themselves, to have better, more healthy life, and so on. But eventually, even their blind and evil course brings to pass circumstances and events which in the long run will serve them for good. It will give them good lesson. Man's extremity will be God's opportunity. Pastor Russell said, in a famous slave trade which brought black men to America was in light of God's overruling providence a blessing in disguise. He said they eventually enjoyed civilization here that they would never know in that native land. And similar providence we can mark in great persecution in old world, from where the lovers of liberty went to New World, to America, and established free government. He said, and condition favored for consummation of God's great purpose to gather a people for his name. We know that truth actually started from hereafter. In many cases, in Old Testament, those men who by God's providence occupied important place in his plan, passed through hard experiences. And later they knew about that. For example, Joseph, quite important what he said to his brethren. He said, it was not you, but God sent me here to preserve your life. They told him. But he see in that behind that further, God shaped circumstances, he said, to preserve your life, because it was famine 7 years, and they came for bread. How God's providence, we don't know sometimes. It is very important to know that quite often in our life we wouldn't know, but if we are faithful, if we are really son of God, he will shape providence, his circumstances, that will be always good. We might not know that in that some time. When we study life of Moses, we see clearly God's leading hand in all his life to prepare him to be suitable leader, lawgiver, and mediator for the nation of Israel. The same we can say about David. Brethren mentioned about David, the second king of Israel, whom God promised everlasting throne, and from whose line Messiah came, real ruler and deliverer, not only deliverer of Israel, but for all worlds. But God's special providence in present time, brethren, is for the church only. And it plays important part in our life. But we should not think that it will bring to us a special blessing in present life, such as good health, prosperity, and wealth. So, where do we profit? Some might ask. We should have clearly in mind, first, that present life for us is preparatory. God is prepare us. It is time for schooling and discipline of the Son of God, and that our subjection to present ills is necessary to work out in us, as Apostle said, an exceeding and eternal glory. Only in such circumstances it is possible to develop what God wants to develop. It is God's care which we should be able to recognize in our life. God knows our standing, our ability better than we do. If He called us and accepted our consecration and begot us by His Spirit, that means He loves us and He is willing to help us, and He knows best what we need. We don't know. Always, sometimes, He is shaping the circumstances of our life. He permits for different trials and is overruling them for our good. In Psalm 23:4, we read, His rod and His staff, they comfort me. How rod and staff trials, but they comfort those who understand. They have a joy. Even as Apostle Peter said, don't think about trial that's something unusual. It comes to you as fire, but have a joy knowing that God is proving you. He's refining you. And in the other places, the same David said, before I was afflicted, I err. I've been making mistake. And he knows. He knew. He'd been making mistake. But he was man. He was man of God. As I mentioned, my discourses and brethren, that he was the man, especially in Old Testament, who could express as nobody else deep feeling, that his deep feeling on a paper, on writing. No, not many have that ability. And this feeling is just like we would need and we would apply to new creature. For example, what I will give for to God, how I will be thankful to Him, and so I'll take a cup of salvation. Pastors, we're using that for our daily manna, at His word, and many others. That's what a man specially tried. But he is called the man of God's heart, that God love him specially. Sometimes if you would have a time, not much, I would like to mention about God's providence, that sometimes He's how it was even over nation of Israel. Maybe, brethren, it is, I believe, in the reference. Maybe know it from history that Alexander the Great, he was one of the greatest warriors. Him, Caesar, and Napoleon, three in history, they say the greatest. And Alexander the Great, he didn't live very long. But in his short time, he conquered all the known world. Even he went to India. And he was want to take Tyre, the city Tyre. And he did, but some Jew in that time helped Tyre, that city. And when he knew that, he was very angry. And he said, I'll go and destroy Jerusalem. And he was going, and he would destroy it. But what happened? When in Jerusalem, people found out about that, more or less, and then priests dressed themselves in white and so on, beautiful anyhow, and went to meet him with bread and so on. When they meet him, his heart melted. I see in this God's providence, because it was not time to destroy city of Jerusalem. It was destroyed later, but Christ had to preach them and the other thing had to happen yet. It was not time. I believe that was God's providence shaping even event. It is said that He won't permit further that should be. He won't permit to damage, to make damage is His plan of ages. He has a plan. So, sometimes we might become overcharged with the care of this life. The Lord, in His mercy and love, will perhaps permit affliction or disaster or some kind to overtake us to be a lesson and assistant for us. And those lessons which are a great assistant for us, we can never learn by the word alone. Such lesson by experience, and they are impressed upon table or other heart, and they last for a long period. Providence of God over His children is very particular. All their steps, we believe, are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37:23, the very hairs of their head are all numbered. Luke 12:7. It is, of course, we understand it means that God really cares, even in detail if it is necessary. His eyes are ever upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. 1 Peter 3:12. And the angels are ministering spirit sent to minister to this heir of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. All things are made to work together for good to these who love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And in Psalm 84:11, it says that no good thing is withheld from them. So we can see that God indeed is Father to all who put their trust in Him. Fellowship of Saints, another channel of blessing and instruction which the Lord provided and commanded to the saint, and which is a great blessing for all the Lord's people, is the assistance which the Lord provides for us through the brethren. Sometimes it is word of season, some word of counsel, word of reproof, word of instruction, perhaps a testimony of the brother or sister, which is very stimulating and encouraging in the certain situation. I believe many experience that. Sometimes it happened that brother speaker spoke about something, and sister said, after, how did you know that I was like that or something? He didn't know. But sister said, oh, or brother, he speaks specially to me. How did you know? Somebody maybe told you? No. But it was the situation. It is. Perhaps a testimony or a brother, which is very stimulating for us as we then patiently enduring various difficulty, hardness, trials, and so on. Fellowship with the brethren is important part of our Christian life, brethren. Apostle Paul clearly said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. Pastor said, we are more or less like coals of fires, which if brought together will increase fervency of the whole mass. Reprint 40:77. Our Lord said, when there are two or three, I am among them. And Malachi, quite important, said too, Malachi 3:16, we read, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. They have a fellowship, those who fear the Lord. We are on probation, brethren. We are in the school of Christ, and we have to proceed to learn all the lessons appointed of the Father, else we shall never graduate. For this reason, we are exhorted to make increase of love until it shall abound in our heart. We are to remember that our part in this work is to fully submit ourselves, our wills, and let the Lord work in us to will and to do his good pleasure. That text sometimes was hard to understand. That work does, God does that work. He even does that. We will and we do. We want and we do. By circumstances, brethren, by different. Because if we see, I believe, if we see that we are sincere, God will have his care and he will shape the circumstances. Submitting our will does not mean stupor or indifference, but the setting of our energy in line with the direction which the Lord from time to time will give us through his word, through the brethren, and through his providence. The object and necessity for such development, it is to establish our heart unblameable in holiness. God is seeking peculiar people, a royal priesthood, firmly established or fixed in love and righteousness to such extent that they will hate iniquity. Time and experience and many lessons from the Word of God and from the Book of Experience are necessary before the character becomes to so settle, so crystallized, that it will be fully loyal to righteousness. It won't be for a day, for 2 or 4 years. Some will sooner, but only longer time and experience and trials and zeal, great zeal and diligence, what is necessary, only those can, brethren, have a hope to attain the mark and stand and be overcomers. For this reason, the Lord makes the way to the kingdom narrow way, full of difficulty and trials, which thereby become tests. Narrow way, when you have to be careful how you go. You can fall and so narrow. That's the test. That way the Lord sifts out those who do not develop the character, who on the way are maybe lazy, who don't care, who are not serious. The work we undertake, brethren, is the most serious work, is we say, in the universe. What we do. That way, the Lord sifts those who do not develop, which he approves character, and for which he promised a great reward, a share in his kingdom. To establish our heart unblameable, we know that we can't attain perfection in our flesh. We can be unblameable in flesh. We are not better than Apostle Paul, who said, "In my flesh dwelt no good." We said that. And there is clear statement of the scripture that there is no righteous, no one. No one man is righteous. So we may be sure that God is not looking for perfection in our flesh. So here the apostle is telling us that our heart may be established, fixed in holiness before our Father. Heart represents will, motive, intention, and in those who are begotten, it represents new creature. A flesh being subjected to evil surrounding, evil influences, and evil machination of Satan becomes so imperfect that it is impossible to have it obey in all good desire. We will desire really sincerely, we are not able to do it. Our flesh is so fallen flesh. So, in all good desire, it is the new mind that must reach that stage of development where it will be unblameable before the Father. This must be attained to be acceptable by God, to be in harmony with our calling. We should remind ourselves that we are called to be royal priesthood, which will have a great work of blessing all the family of earth. We should understand that God couldn't ask nothing less than our heart, our intention should be in full accord with the principle of righteousness, and that this principle will be controlling factor in our daily life according to our ability. Not over, but we should strive, and as much as we strive, we'll attain. Slowly we'll attain more and more. In the way we should endeavor to perfect holiness in the reverence of the Lord, holiness without which, it said, apostle said, without holiness no man will see God. Holiness. And it would be proper here to remind ourselves the word which apostle Paul said when he realized his inability to attain perfection in flesh. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God. With the mind, he served the law of God. And he said, I thank God, that they accept him, not by flesh, but by the mind. In the other places, the same apostle said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. As we mentioned before, not we, our ability, should remember, in Christ. Philippians 4:13, that we may be established in the presence of the Lord. We believe that we are now in that time in the presence of the Lord, and realizing that we should inquire carefully of our heart, brethren, to what extent we are established in righteousness, in love for it, or maybe it is still unsettled, wavering. Everybody is and will be fully tested, for the time of the completion of church body is at hand. It won't last another 100 years. We don't know how, but is it ending? The test has to show who is thoroughly established in righteousness and love, knowing that we are not to wonder if various trials are permitted which have to prove us. We should always have in mind that God loves us. He called us. He begot us. He cared about us. And as apostle said, he who started that good work in us, that beautiful text, he said he is able to accomplish it. If we put all our effort to know God's will and to do God's will, doesn't mean that we will say, God, do it work. From our side, we have to do utmost. We have to cooperate to utmost. We have to obey to the utmost. What we can. And this is process. If we will continually manifest the desire to show obedience, because it is said that Jesus, being Son of God, learned obedience by suffering. And he became, this important word, he said, and he became, because he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So, brethren, if we are sincere and diligent and careful, we will establish our heart unblameable in holiness before God at the presence of our Lord Jesus. God provided everything from our point to be diligent, zeal, obedient. Let God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother John. I felt I was visiting the heart surgeon there for a while. Pretty thorough analysis, and we appreciate that. It seems that as we now come to the conclusion that Brother's reminding us that things are not going to be so easy. The rest of our lives, and tomorrow or today is the last day of the last days of our life, is it? And so it is. So we'll continue our journey. We thank you for coming. Now down to a representation, fewer than what started, and we are thanking the Lord again for his loving kindness, arranging another oasis in which we can fellowship together on the substance and the basis of the truth, which has brought us together, brethren. We have had a lot of admonition here for these 2 days to how to put on this garment. Be careful we, as we part, that we don't get it spotted, soiled in any way. Our consciences have been tuned, should we say, with the Word of God, with the law of God, so that we come back to His Word and learn to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Feel happy in the presence of good, wherever it is, in whomever it is, but feel rather distressed whenever in the presence of that which is wrong. Love righteousness, hate iniquity. Remember to report to Brother Don if you would like a set of the talks just behind that screen. And the Lord watch between His brethren until we meet again, Brother John.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dear Father, we want to approach your throne of mercy to give you thanks for all blessings which you bestow upon us. First of all, we thank you for your great love that you send your Son in order that everyone who will believe in him will have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for opening our eyes on understanding, that we can understand your great and marvelous plan of salvation, that we can understand time and season, and what is very important, that we can learn more about thy will toward us. Dear Father, we ask you for forgiveness of our trespasses because we make them. We ask you for blessing not only for us, but for those brethren and sisters who are in many places, who have sorrow, who have sickness, and who can be with brethren, that your face, your blessing will be with them. And again, in all our daily affair, we submit ourselves under your gracious care through Jesus Christ's name. Amen.